Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly. It is 4th of May, so it is exactly 4 years. I almost said 4 days. 4 years since we introduced SharePoint Framework. before we go there and celebrate, there will be hopefully some things flying around on that.
No, confetti.
let's do a quick recap on what this is all about. So the BNP Weekly is a weekly show where we cover what has happened within Microsoft 365 and the SharePoint area. And we go through Microsoft articles, community articles, and typically we also have a visitor like this time. Last time I actually didn't because we had a special show. And by the way, thank you for the feedback on that one. My name is Sasa Yuvanen. I'm a program manager on the SharePoint OneDrive platform team, and with me as a co-host is Valdek. Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Valdek Mhastegash. I am head of product at Rancor. And today we have a guest. He has affinity with tech, but he might have actually more affinity with wine.
Hi there. Maarten Ekels. I am Chief Digital Officer at Portiva, Microsoft cloud consulting company in the Netherlands. I'm also an MVP for Office Apps and Services, I think it's called nowadays. Yep. And I'm also a Microsoft Regional Director. And thanks for having me. Oh, yes, and I like wine. I'm also a certified sommelier.
There you go.
That's a pretty recent thing, isn't it? Just a few months ago, wasn't it? Or last year? When was it?
It was January last year, actually. Yeah. Okay. So time flies. Yeah.
So yeah, which wine would you recommend to pair with PNP Weekly?
Well, here goes for the consultancy answer. It depends.
Whether you watch it during the day, during the night, where it's
yeah, exactly.
The weather,
it's exactly. Same with food, right? It's are you sitting on a sunny terrace or are you drinking wine with the red meat? I mean, it's a big difference.
So I think we need to have a poll. Like, in which setting do people watch PNP Weekly the most often? And then we can give recommendation, or you could give recommendation of wine.
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Do pairing. Yeah, pairing with PNP. Definitely.
Okay, let's get back on the other business. So we had actually Abby, who's an MVP from your company as well, was in the show a few weeks back, and we talked about as an example the opportunities and first of all the impact of COVID for your company, and then also the opportunities of Microsoft 365 in general for the partner ecosystem. But before we go there, just out of curiosity, what's the role between you and Abby? Abby is the CTO of Portiva, and you are you had a fancy title as well.
C3PO, right?
C3PO. So Epi and I basically together we are responsible for everything that's technology and knowledge related within our company. We have a strong technology focus, obviously, and we really try to put a lot of effort in knowledge sharing within our company as well. So we joined forces, and Appy is the more technical guy of the two of us. He is a true developer. I mean, I can read code, I can write a little bit of code, but you should really not let me write production code. I do stuff just to try out and to build some proof of concepts, etc. But it doesn't go further than that. And I'm more, I come from an IT pro background, and I have the business background. So we kind of share that, and we try to bring the two of our perspectives together to get the best vision for our company.
That makes a lot of sense, if cool. Especially if there's a good relationship between you two.
Yes.
So
joined our company, I think a little over a year ago now, but I know I know him from long before that, and we did road trips together and to SharePoint Saturdays all across Europe and etc. So yeah, we go a long time back. Yeah.
That was when we were still traveling. So
yes.
The time before. But before we go,
in the galaxy, far, far away.
So it feels actually. That was when it wasn't a Groundhog Day, and now it feels like a Groundhog Day every single day. It's like, okay, what's going to happen today? Well, homeschooling, and then anyway. What does Portiva do then? What's the background of Portiva, and what is it offering?
Yeah, we started in 2010, and back then we were a SharePoint only company. So we really focused on the niche called SharePoint, and we did SharePoint implementation.
Niche, right?
Yeah, exactly. but it was different, right? In the in the Microsoft ecosystem, there was a lot of companies who did Azure, or well, not Azure in 2010, but they did Active Directory or Exchange or
Dynamics.
Or Link, or Office Server, or desktop management, Windows, etc. Yep. Windows NT, networking, all that stuff. And then there was suddenly was something called SharePoint, and it was different. People with their Exchange certificate or their Active Directory certificate, they didn't understand the whole infrastructure setup of SharePoint. So, yeah, it was a niche, kind of. And we worked together with a lot of large companies who were looking for expertise. We did the SharePoint part of the management, of the implementation, etc. But of course, we moved from SharePoint into more the broader Office 365 space. And nowadays, we are a company, so we're 10 years later, and we grew into a company of almost 100 people, almost 100 consultants, and we do Microsoft Cloud broadly. So we don't do SharePoint only anymore, although SharePoint is still a big part of our business. But we do Microsoft 365 over the entire spectrum, and we do Azure now as well. But we do try to focus on stuff that we're good at. So if you're saying we do Azure, I think that's way too broad. So we don't do, for example, we are not good at big data. We don't have data scientists working for us. But we can help you set up the data lakes and the databases and everything behind it. And we are good at infrastructure as a service, and we are very good at AI and all cognitive services stuff and the bot framework. And so there's definitely a big part of Azure, a big chunk that we are really good at, and that's what we like to implement. But we also know where we're not so good, so then we seek out for other partners.
Yeah, I think it's a quite a natural transition from being first potentially even an on-premises company and offering on-premises development. And then when you go to the cloud, you realize that, well, maybe you will take advantage of Azure and certain sets of Azure capabilities. Like cognitive services is a good example. With the cognitive services, it's not about the cognitive service itself. It's all about the data which you actually put on the cognitive services. And where do we have the data? Well, we have the data in Microsoft 365. So combining that power then together is also called Project Cortex, by the way. Now, which is
Donkey
pretty
bridge.
Interesting. Yes. Monkey bridge, yes. As in segue. I still don't understand. How is it possible from its completely different perspective? In Netherlands, it's called Monkey Bridge. And also in Finland, it's called the Monkey Bridge.
So, Donkey Bridge.
Right? Sorry, Donkey Bridge.
So.
Anyway, so... Okay, so that's basically quite typical transition from doing the business and then growing the company. What about nowadays? If you think about the SharePoint has obviously a role, but I can imagine that Teams is growing heavily. Power Platform is growing heavily as well. Is that something what you
see?
Why
would you say that?
It was already growing for us even before the whole situation, the COVID-19 situation that we're currently in. But now even more so, I'd say. And it's interesting, but SharePoint is still a big chunk of what we do because it's still related to many of these other platforms. And a lot of stuff that we do with the Power Platform also involves SharePoint, or a lot of stuff that we do with Teams still involves SharePoint as well, or the other way around. And you can definitely see that. But the COVID-19 situation is suddenly, well, of course, we know Teams is booming. I think there was the latest numbers that we saw was, what was it, 75, 85 million users, active daily users. Bizarre. Yeah. It's the numbers are really, really growing so much. And that's what we see as well. We have had so many customers approaching us over the past couple of weeks. Hey, can you help us implement Microsoft Teams? And can we do that in 2 days, please? That's basically the question that we get asked a lot now. And a lot of companies are asking us, so we have this Power Platform. You have done a couple of apps for us already. We've done a couple of POCs. But do you have any recommendations how we can use this platform in COVID-19 situations, or to help the 1.5 meter society work? And is there ways that we can help support this? So yeah, that's interesting.
It's interesting.
On the other hand, we see that bigger projects, the bigger custom development projects, are being put on hold or are delayed or postponed. The decisions to see if everything that was running continues, but every new project, or not everyone, but many of the new projects that were in our pipeline are now being postponed, and we get a lot of more, well, smaller projects and more related to actually get your work done.
Yeah. So with the changes of like you said, that like in a cloud there is proliferation of all the different things like Power Platform, Flow, there's tons of things in Azure. With that said, do you see a big change regarding the scope size of engagements that you do, like going from this multi 100K, 200K engagements to like really going like very specific tailored things like do this, do this, do that, and then really being chunked?
Yes, both works both ways. I think on the one hand, we see many of those smaller projects come in. Yes, they're really tailor asked instead of tailor made. We need this specific thing. So can you help us? But on the other hand, because we're building smaller, more specific things, suddenly organizations start to realize what the capabilities are of the platform. And then they suddenly realize, hey, maybe we can do more with this. Do you maybe have a consultant for the next 3 months who can help us build stuff for the during the next 3 months or something, something in that regard? Yeah. So it goes both ways.
Makes
but
perfect
definitely
sense.
The projects are getting a little bit smaller overall. Yeah.
Which is understandable. So I think everybody's looking around on, okay, so what's happening? And let's try to figure out when we pass this and how long does it take, and nobody knows. So completely understandable. Now, you mentioned the teams, for example, on the area which is growing, and people want to get to know the teams, but is the teams adaption more on, let's say, adapting on using the teams, or is it actually also extending the teams? So is it just enabling the basic scenario? So what's the demand?
Yeah, I think the start usually is let's get this rolled out to our users and let's make sure they understand how to use it. The actual technical setup for most companies is not that complicated. And we organize a governance workshop and we go through all the settings and we document the settings for them, but then you're done. That doesn't take a lot of time unless they have some kind of complex SharePoint or a Skype for Business on-prem installation with a contact center special for their voice products or whatever. Then it's something else. But even then, the technical part of Teams is not that difficult. But then you come into the adoption part, and that's getting it across and getting people to actually start using it. I think half a year ago, that was quite an issue, or issues maybe not the right word, it's a challenge, right? Yeah. To get people to start using it. But now everybody is working from home, the adoption goes the other way around. People are using it, and now you have to kind of maybe slow them down and tell them how to properly use it. It happens. So I don't think the question anymore is we don't have to help people to start realizing that they should embrace Teams. No, they all embrace Teams because it's the only way they can get their work done nowadays, because they're working from home. So now we have to help them in understanding how to properly use it and how to make sure that you don't drown in the Teams mess that could be created if you don't do anything about it.
So you mentioned that as a part of the onboarding, you do a governance workshop.
Yes.
And that ends up with a plan. How do you enforce actually the plan, right? Because like just because you tell everybody, well, you are not allowed to drive more than 100, doesn't mean that people will actually not drive than 100, right? So
true. So there's a part of the plan is just as agreements, and a part of the plan is so the outcome of the plan is usually also a roadmap that we should implement some measures in order to make sure that people stick to the agreements. Naming conventions is an example. most companies cannot live with a naming with only one naming convention, which is what Microsoft supports. So you need to build something or create something. Hey, for example, with PMP templating or with Flow or whatever. But you need to create something where people can request a team and implement your own naming convention system mechanism in an Azure Logic app or in a Flow or whatever to make sure that the naming convention, you can make an agreement with people. Hey, every project that we start in Teams should start with project dash and then the name of the project. Yeah. But it's better to that they just type into a form, I need a project and it's called this project. And then you have some mechanism making sure that the right naming convention is in place.
Right.
So usually after the workshop, you have some more, you have a small roadmap of some more stuff that you need to get done. Yeah.
Is that a kind of a typical setup for the projects, for the slightly larger projects? So basically having that automated self-provisioning story still up and running?
Yes, almost everybody wants it. Yeah, especially the organizations that come from a SharePoint perspective, because they are used to templates and SharePoint and choosing the right site and everything. And then they're like, okay, now we're starting to embrace Teams. So we need to have a similar approach in Teams.
I would project
like
team.
Mechanism where I can request a team and where I can get that template rolled out. So yeah, that's definitely a thing. And in companies that do not come from a SharePoint perspective, because that's also interesting, that's a new type of customer that we are seeing over the, past year or so, that are companies that go to the cloud, that move into the Office 365 space or Microsoft 365 space, I should say nowadays. And then they just start using Teams and they don't realize that there's something underneath that is called SharePoint where you can do a lot of stuff because they've never used SharePoint before. It's a little bit different for them.
And it might even have a bad influence. So some people don't like the SharePoint behind the scenes either. I don't want to touch the SharePoint. It didn't work for my previous company back in 2008. Yeah, it's a slightly different fellow nowadays. But it's a fair comment as well. Absolutely.
We had a customer once who said, can you upgrade our SharePoint on-prem farm? But the future state, it should not be called SharePoint. because there was a little bit of, bad emotion with the current system, the current platform.
That was a typical thing, especially for intranets, right? I've heard like companies, especially if you think about intranet that was driven by the internal Marcom departments, like oftentimes they would give it a name to make it non-technical, to make it more, familiar and friendly to the non-technical user. So they would choose a name for it. There's like, but it's still SharePoint. No. This is our technical scene, right?
Exactly, and I think that's a good point. Also, it's not about technology. It's not about as long as it enables people to actually work and be more productive. Now, coming back on the transition of the business, just out of curiosity as well, do you see then the future direction more on the betting on the consulting, change management, and all of that stuff? We've been having a few consultants as a visitor in the BNP Weekly talk about change management, like Tracy was here recently, and so on, Carolina, and so on. Or is it still about extending and then enabling business processes to be closer for the end users? So how do you see the balance to go in the future?
I think the extending part will never go away. I mean, organizations will always have a need or requirement for something that's specific to their business, something that's specific to their processes. So there's always room for extending the platform there. That at least I tend to think so. What you see is that maybe Microsoft is at least trying to make it easier for citizen developers to do that themselves, which brings other challenges to the organization, because then again, change management maybe becomes even more important in that regard as well.
Release management, ownership,
exactly.
IT.
Hey, we built this in our department, but now suddenly it doesn't work anymore. So here, IT, could you please have a look and fix this for us?
Here is the flow that I've built, and now it's being used by everybody, and it's running under my credentials.
Yeah, exactly. Now that person has left the company. Okay.
Well, but I mean, in the past, it was exactly the same thing. Like, I would build something that would sit under my desk, and now it's in my Flow account. It's the same thing, just move places.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think it didn't change. Back in the day, it was underneath your desk, or it was an Access database that someone created, or a VB
Excel sheet.
Macros in Excel or Word or whatever. So it has always been there. It's just the platforms have changed a little bit, but you still have to take that into account. I think what we are done with are the big, large customizations of the Microsoft platforms themselves. So we're not putting the customization in the platform anymore. We're now building something outside the platform that hooks up to the platform to see if we can get the data or something similar. So that changed.
A request like, okay, build me an intranet that doesn't look like SharePoint. It was like,
but that was pretty typical at the time. That was a different kind of business.
So, true.
And nowadays, that was one of the reasons why we needed to redesign the whole SharePoint experience, because people were basically hurting themselves by overriding everything. And then when we introduced new capabilities, they were not
Does it work?
Just because they basically overwrote the UX. So
true. On the other hand, that did save them some maybe time or effort on the change management topic, because if Microsoft releases changes and you don't see it, then you don't have to explain them.
Absolutely.
But, good thinking.
To come back to that part, I think change management is that has. The need for proper change management in your organization has increased so much over the past couple of years, because that is completely different. And that's not Microsoft 365 specific, that's cloud specific, because suddenly the vendor is deciding the pace. They are making sure that everything gets rolled out. So you as an organization, you don't have to, I don't know, prepare for a major change every 3 years, or I've seen companies where they just skip a version and they do an implementation every 6 years or an upgrade. No, suddenly you have changes coming into the system every week or every day even. You need to have an organization that's capable of handling that and that's ready for that. But on the other hand, you can use the business for that as well. So don't try to do everything that's change management related within IT, but leverage the business for it, right? Yeah. So, and get your, I don't know, ambassador network. Ambassador, sometimes I have the feeling that the ambassador is just a new word for key user, but it's,
evangelist, right? Network.
Yeah.
We've been there too.
Yeah. Find the right people and they can help you, and they can make sure that you don't have to put too much time in it. You just have to enable it or disable it and maybe prepare some communication, but they can decide if you need it from an organizational perspective, what is the impact, how should we communicate it, etc.
Exactly. And I guess the interesting thing is, right, that is a work on, like, it's a job of itself, right?
Yes.
Because, like, it's so easy to say, like just, you know, like, rush it off and say, like, yes, like, everybody knows it's coming, it's there already enabled, like, they use it, like, not big deal. But then at the end of the day, it's about change. Like, you want to make people use something new, and they need to understand, like, why, what's the goal, how do they fit. Like, it's a lot of talking and explaining, which is key for anything to happen, actually.
And of course you want them to adapt those new capabilities, because you're paying for them. That's part of the package. That's part of the monthly fee that people are getting the new functionalities and things. And you shouldn't be paying for it if you're not using it. Right?
Yeah, but I'd like to err more on the side to say, you know what? Yes, you pay for it, but there is a benefit to it as well. So it's not just about, like, getting the value
for the
money, but there's actually it can help your company to move forward, be more efficient and effective. But for that, people need to adopt it and need to see the benefit for themselves. They need to understand that. And that simply just takes time. And everybody is different. Everybody thinks differently. People have different reasonings. And that is hard, because it's not tech. This is not related to tech.
If you don't pay attention to it, then people will think another change.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you have to, that's not the sentiment that you want, right? So you have to pay attention to it. Yeah.
I think the last week's advertisement from ShareKate was pretty awesome on the reactions. So we'll put it on the notes. But
it was so I wrote that on Twitter as well. It was so over the top that I liked it.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, I think that was the past before COVID-19 situation, because now it's more like, okay, so the adoption will happen regardless because it's forced to happen. Maybe this was a super lucky situation for some of the cloud providers like Microsoft, Amazon, and Google and so on, because this forces every single company jump on the board. There's no possibilities to say, no, we want to be on-premises, which is, well, do you really want to be there?
There's companies, we have customers that are still running SharePoint on-prem and they want to stick to that. And that now they realize that their VPN infrastructure is only scaled to 100 users and they're a 1,000 user company. Yep. Because they never had more than 100 users or employees outside of the building at the same time. And now suddenly they do. And they're like, this is not working.
So does that mean that they share over email, over Dropbox, over whatnot, just to get the work done?
Yeah, exactly. Human beings are pretty clever on coming off with whatever works. So you should be making the whatever services you're building as easily as approachable for the end users, right? So that they will feel that that's the thing what they want to use.
But that requires explanation. That requires some additional. Yeah. But I think organizations are getting it. More so than a couple of years ago. Yeah, absolutely.
And then at the same time, obviously, that's one of the reasons why EDU is such an important thing for all of the cloud providers, is that whenever the school and the students will start learning and using whatever they're doing, like Teams or, and let's say, Google Meet, if they learn how to use it, then there's no problems of adapting that when they go to work. That's really what the EDU platform is about.
But I think that's not really a challenge, right? Because the youth already does that. They never call phone, they app. They use WhatsApp and whatnot, right? So I think it's in their work, it's already ingrained in the way they live, but it's just the workplace that it's still like lags way behind. Like it's the traditional thing, like you show up at the office 9 a.m. the latest, and you spend time, otherwise I do not trust that you actually do your work, like that mentality. And I don't think that will change with Teams, right? It has to change within the workplace itself. It's another change.
Sure. That's true. But don't underestimate how digital illiterate the youth is. They seem very literate because they use all the tools. They automatically use WhatsApp, Snapchat, Facebook Messenger, whatever there is, TikTok, and etc. But they don't really realize what they are using, how they're using it, the impact on security, etc. So they are very literate in using these devices and apps and the whole ecosystem, but they're not very literate in how that works in a company. So you still have to explain to them, help them, etc.
But if you would go back, let's say 30 years back, like when we would get first microwaves, like people who used to cook on fire, it was like, no microwaves, like beams and you'll be radiated. And nowadays, like nobody cares about it. It's just like on and it's done. And sure, maybe there is some radiation. Like people don't even stand still to think about it. So maybe it will be exactly the same, right? Security, by the time they get to work, security will be there. Like so many things will be already part of the tool chain, right? But I mean, the Microsoft cloud, we have it already. Like everything is underpinned. There is a security layer that goes all the way across everything that you do, and it's just there. Like you are not even always aware of it, that you have DLP, that is GDPR, PR compliance, security condition. Like all of that is already there, and it just works.
Of course, right? But you still have to convince them that they should start using Teams or whichever.
Teams as opposed to something else. Absolutely. Yep.
Cool. Let's actually do a quick break on the discussion. Let's do some articles and then let's get back on the discussion still.
Commercial break.
commercial break. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We have quite a few articles again to comment and go through. Let's start with the Microsoft ones. Obviously, Microsoft Build registrations are now open. And it is a free event and virtual event, which is happening within, is it in 2 weeks? May 19th.
May 19th, yes.
Yep. In 2 weeks. Yep.
And for free. So yeah, every free. Developer should register. Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not only that. So I've read that what they plan to do, they split basically the 24 hours in 8 hour chunks, and the same talk will be given in each 8 hour chunk, so that no matter where you are in the world, you will be able to see it in your time zone, in your work time, let's say. Like, yeah. That is unbelievable. But like, this is like, if you really think about like what makes it. What allows them to reach as many folks as they can is exactly that, right? Yep. Just make it available during work hours so that there is no excuse. Yeah, but it's evening, but it's like, no, it's available for anybody across the world, no matter where you are.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I need to have the opportunity of still watching and the time to watch it.
Of course.
But again, everything is recorded. Everything is pre-recorded already. And yes. Most of it, it's pre-recorded. They're not live events. And everything will be available in Channel 9 or in YouTube after the session as well. So after the actual build, which is a good reminder, by the way, what keeps on, let's say, bothering me, if you think about the Ignite and everything else, Ignite had such a tremendous amount of multiple sessions. But then when you go to the YouTube or Channel 9 and to watch how many people have actually watched the sessions, it's not that many.
No.
So we have still this problem of people being highly excited on during the days, those days, maybe in the on-site when we used to do this on-site, but not afterwards. Maybe this will change in the future. We'll see.
Well, but it's still hard to carve out so much time, right? Because like there is the thing with a video, like you cannot skim through it yet, right? True. When you read an article and it's well written, like you can see a headline, and you can skim through it and only look at the relevant parts. Whereas in video, like you need to like one-on-one, or at least you can maybe skip one and a half speed, but still it's very hard.
Exactly. You can play faster. That's something I do a lot. So I just wait after session and then play it at twice the speed or something. Yeah.
Or play four at a time and then like try to pay attention to it. Well, nowadays you will be able to see in teams like 3x3, so you could see 9 streams. No.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on articles. So let's continue. So last week we continued as Microsoft to release actually MVP written, a lab around Microsoft Craft Toolkit, and day 5 and 6 came out. So customizing components using templates from Fabio and basically concentrating on the Craft Toolkit usage. And then this one was from Cameron Trier. Trier had a nice power on MGT get capability, basically on getting information and listing information. For example, all of the lists, all of the sites where, is it all of the lists where you have access on that particular site, which is pretty cool. So super clean set of code from that perspective. So super, super powerful setup, absolutely. Now, few other, let's say, official Microsoft articles. So Microsoft 365 Learning LearnPath localized. And before we started recording, I was already saying that I don't think we did a good job of even have been announced the learning paths for Microsoft 365. So we do have learning paths for Microsoft Teams development and SharePoint development and all of that. So there's multiple different learning paths. Microsoft 365 Fundamentals. And if we scroll down, we can actually see if I go pros all, we can actually see that we have Teams and deploy Microsoft Teams, manage Teams. We have SharePoint listed here as well. If we go actually in here as well, so let me actually get in. It's under SharePoint. That's slightly confusing.
SharePoint framework.
If we go here and SharePoint framework, we can actually. No, that's not definitely not just SharePoint. It's SharePoint framework. Good point. But then, basically, guidance on those things as well. These are quite nice, actually. They are smaller chunks, and you can actually start them, go back, and then continue where you were left off. So, kind of a 5 minutes or 10 minutes chunks. So, really cool setup of learning basics on how to get started as well. So, really cool. Now, this one was the latest on Friday. Friday was off for the, on this one actually Thursday evening, if I remember correctly, because Friday was off for the most of the Europe. But this is basically the roadmap from April 2020, last day of April. And so new stuff coming up on SharePoint, like stock images. I think super convenient, by the way, way of improving the let's say, how cool the sites are looking. Two new Tom store is getting the modernized Tom store is coming as well. Content type gallery coming as well. Then these areas will get a lot of additional improvements in the future as well. So it's not just about making them modern, the UX. It's also about improving the capabilities in the future.
And also the APIs, right?
Exactly.
And the APIs. Yes.
The APIs. Yes. Will there be new APIs?
Yep, graph APIs for REST and content types. Woo-hoo! Absolutely. Audience targeting of site navigation and footer. I think that's pretty cool as well. Finally getting there. And your way is basically able to show that's not necessarily the right example, but if you would have a hub navigation, then you would be able to say that this hub navigation element would be only available for executives or whatever. But it's audience targeting, which means that it's not about permissions, it's about targeting the link to a certain person. Shy header, so smaller header, and we can actually see that that's the large area and that's much smaller. It's still there because it's the SharePoint header, but it gets smaller and smaller from a configuration perspective. SharePoint Spaces has moved into preview, and so that's now public preview. We're going to talk about that one slightly more in a second as well. So that was announced in here. So you can build actually those 3D things which we showed originally. When was it? In SBC, a few years back, probably first time.
Yeah.
But this is now rolling out also to preview in worldwide, so people can actually build cool-looking sites using the 3D technology. It is Babylon.js behind of the scenes, so basically you don't have to wear any headsets to be able to see it in 3D. So it's pretty cool. Teamwork updates, file card conversations, so you can actually see any related information about the file card. I think these are really, really cool as well. These are based on search. Right. So when you hover a document, it will actually give you all of the details related on document, regardless where it was mentioned. And that's actually insanely cool. SharePoint integration power, automate power apps, high tech. GCC. That's the way to actually say that. Power Automate, related technologies, new Yammer app for Microsoft Teams. We're going to go to the Teams in a second. A lot of stuff is happening, like we're going to see. And Martin, you said, there's so many things coming up all the time. This is basically a monthly summary on things which are rolling, and then they light up, and then they basically enable new functionalities for end users. So
on one product,
change management is important. Sorry?
On one product in the suite.
Yeah, exactly. And the Teams has actually quite a lot of new stuff as well. So we're finally getting the nine squares. I think we'll have even more in the future. So nine squares is not the ultimate goal, definitely. There will be even more than that. Raise hands, super important thing. Where is it? Actually, there we can see that. It's not actually visible in the bar, which is actually interesting. So basically, there's a raise hand visible in the bar, and then you can indicate that, hey, I have something to say, so that the presenter knows that, oh, okay, so let's actually ask Adi. Adi had something to say based on the question. So you don't have to interrupt the person, which is pretty cool. Background effects, which are coming. People have been playing around with this for quite a long time already. Up to the level of, nobody. It's such an old joke already. So. Improvements on live events and meetings, that's actually pretty important as well. And then centralized administrative settings, quite a lot of new things here as well. So really, really cool stuff. And the Yammer integration in Microsoft Teams. So Yammer for the community functionality, then getting integrated directly in Teams. That's pretty cool. As a personal application on the left bar. So. Yeah. Good. That was a quick list of things. Now, on the personal applications, actually, one of the things what we Wildegg actually worked on is the update for our Leads reference sample. Leads is one of those samples which we originally created for SPC 2018, so 2 years ago in SPC. And then we've been evolving this by adding a Teams tab capability. And now the latest thing is that it's actually a personal application, which can be then pinned on the left bar. But key point here to notice, it's a personal application with multiple tabs and the settings and all of that. So it's a really a kind of a reference story on how you would build something like leads from your lead management system and exposing that directly in the Teams Chrome. So really cool setup as well. And this sample is open source. It is actually by default in this demo mode, which means that you don't even have to set up an Azure function to make it work. It's just a cached data, which is showing the true sample. So really cool setup and a great demo, by the way. I'm going to use it later today in my quick keynote as well. Now, Chao Ferreira had a SharePoint Spaces template using PMP PowerShell. So he's been now blocking. So he actually started creating and testing the Spaces functionalities and 3D layouts and designing these things. So you can really get started on using Spaces but just by creating a new space and then creating from there. What's really, really cool, we worked on this one actually quite a long time ago already. We actually support SharePoint Spaces in the BMP provisioning templates as well. So you can actually export and import the templates. And in this case, and basically save a SharePoint Space as a template, and then you can apply that to another site, and you'll get the same functionalities available. And that's actually pretty cool.
So is that from the artifacts point of view? Is it just the different list and files you put on there, or are there some specific things like settings or specific things you have to set?
There are unique. It is a unique list and a unique data structure which okay. it's using. We added the support for it already a while back as we're testing about the spaces in the BMP sign. So pretty cool setup as well. And if you're interested on the SharePoint Spaces, we have a documentation available in the Microsoft support. We'll add the links to the blog post, absolutely. Now, this one is good from Nikki, related to Microsoft Teams the day after. So you mean like a hangover?
Well, I mean, it could get to that, right?
Yeah. But it is really around the fact that, okay, so now that we have it enabled, what now? Because I think there's a lot of companies who are running into this thing. Like Martin said, there's massive demand for enabling these things. But then, okay, now that it's up and running, what do we do now? And, yep. And there's a interesting opportunity there, absolutely. This one was really cool from Yannick. Site Design Studio V2 is out, which is basically a BMP template. So it is a, how would I put it? It's a solution, which is actually a SharePoint site, which contains multiple web parts and other extensions, which can be used then to create site designs and site scripts and directly within a tenant. As long as you have the sufficient permissions, you can actually do that. And that's actually pretty cool. It has awesome capabilities. Definitely should test it out. So really, really cool looking stuff. And open source. It is available as an open source solution. Getting started with React hooks in SPFX. I think Wartaman had a article on this one in the last week as well. But basically, again, how the React hooked implementation would work on the SPFX implementation and how it simplifies the rendering of things. And there's the React function, and that's the return for that one. So the kind of a really concentrate on the bits and pieces and make it easily available, or the outputs of the functions easily available. Not going to deep dive on that one. This one is from Siddharth, how to use PMP combo box listed and picker control in SPFX. If you don't know what these are, that might sound pretty interesting. But the whole point being on the fact that if you use the combo box list picker, which is a reusable controls from the PMP SPFX control setup, how can you actually use it as a guidance, step-by-step guidance? And these are really, really cool for people who are looking into building these applications and understanding how these reusable controls can be used. So really, really cool. Then we have two articles from Treewheel. Bo had a really nice community demo a while back, which is in the YouTube channel. This was really around the questions and answers, the case of native SharePoint questions and answers. And it was a web part which they built for their customer, which basically then has this questions and answer functionality. The web part itself, at least for now, is not open source, but this talks about the structure and experience and how things actually could be implemented for customers. And these are really cool because they basically show the possibilities of the platform, what can be done. And obviously, this Q&A web part could be just as well a Microsoft Teams tab or between Microsoft Teams personal application. So pretty cool as well.
And it might also be interesting to see if you can tie the same source to a Q&A bot. Right, yeah. To have yes. the same thing yep. exposed as a bot and as a web part in which you can just browse and search.
Yep. So it's up then to the end user to choose, do they want to use exactly. the text input way of exposing or then click-through way of exposing. Martin, in your case, is the bots already catching up on the demand? So is there a customers asking bots to get implemented?
To some extent, yes. Q&A maker bot we see quite a lot, especially now with COVID-19. So many companies that would like to have an easy way to provide their employees a way to ask questions. Should I work from home? What is possible at the office? I'm looking for a monitor. Can I get one from the office because I don't have a proper one at home for my home office, yep. etc. So these kinds of questions, yep. we see that quite a lot. Yeah,
but rather than having a long page with all of the information, you would have
yeah, bought, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, they have the yeah. page as well, yep. and then we kind of leverage that info that is in there anyway to build yep. a bot to sure. hook it up to a Q&A maker bot and then expose that bot in Teams or a SharePoint page or whatever. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And then again, then the end user chooses, are they more familiar with using the bot or are they going to go to the page and use that, which makes yeah. a lot of sense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, this one is from Treewheel as well. Should I use PMP provisioning engine or site scripts? Interesting story on that one. What can be done on which site? Not a massive documentation, but a massive story. But it's an interesting story related on differences and comparisons and references. Also, the Laura's article and a demo on that one. And there's no right or wrong, so to say. There are certain limitations maybe on the site scripts versus the PMP provisioning, at least for now. Because the PMP provisioning supports even team structures to get provisioned. So it's more complete. It is a tenant provisioning, not just SharePoint provisioning.
But then again, you have to have something like engine to run the code on, operate permissions as far and so on, whereas the other one is just available out of the
yep.
box. So.
That is absolutely true. So there, it's not a yes or no discussion. Never. It's one of those things. Whatever fits for your use case is the key.
Yeah. Often we see a combination, even.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That is fair point as well. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because the PMP can be used to then extend what's there for exactly. out of the box. So quite easily. Yeah. No code modern SharePoint site diary redirect. So no code way of doing site redirects in the SharePoint from Joel Rodriguez. Good article on that one. So this one is on automatically post YouTube videos to Yammer group. So if Yammer is being used in your company, whenever a YouTube video is getting added. And in this case, I think they used an example from the SharePoint general development special interest group. So whenever there's a new YouTube video added onto YouTube, it will actually post that to the Yammer feed as well. That's actually quite nice setup. Absolutely. Good power, good way of actually demonstrating the power of Power Automate as well. This one is from John. Retention in SharePoint Online, the what? And this is part of the series where, what, and how is coming soon. So basically, what is it and where does it actually control? How do labels actually work? We'll have actually in the upcoming monthly community call for SharePoint, we'll talk about labels as well. So new stuff getting live pretty soon on that one. And then two more articles, why SharePoint training is important from
Veronique.
So, and we talked about this one before we started recording. It's basically one of those things where why training is in general important because if whatever it is not adapted, it is a waste of money. So it's
basically what we talked about.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. it doesn't matter if it's SharePoint or Teams or whatever. If you are planning to actually invest on it, you want to make sure that people are using that in the right ways in your company. And then the final article was pretty cool from Martin's colleague. Preheat or cool your Tesla with Microsoft Power Automate and Tesla API. So I was just checking how it actually works. In this case, it is using, there's a way of connecting the Tesla API with the access token, and then hitting the right car ID and then heating things up. Right. So that was based on, hey, you're leaving at certain time frame of work. Oh, it's cold, so let's heat up the car. Right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Setup. Based on your agenda.
Cool. And like Waldeck noted up, it's not necessarily a great idea to put the access token in the flow, but hey, maybe there's alternative ways of doing this. And there's a lot of ideas for improvements in the from the writer as well. So really cool setup. Huge from Nick. But that's it for the article side. Quite a lot of articles, good stuff again. And this week, I'm going to stop recording. What are you guys doing this week? Anything interesting happening?
Tomorrow is a national holiday in the Netherlands.
It is. Yeah, well, they told me that. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Another day to stay at home, right?
Yeah, weird public holiday because we only have it once every 5 years. Yeah. So we don't have it every year. Yeah. So it's a little bit strange. So we always, every year, we're asking ourselves, so this year, is it actually a national holiday or not? So this year it actually is.
Are we off? Are we off? Yes.
Yeah.
Why is it?
It's the day that we signed, that we ended the Second World War in the Netherlands.
Liberation Day, I think.
Liberation Day. Yeah.
Okay. But why is it done every single fifth year?
Because we don't want to give, our government doesn't want to give away too many public holidays.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, so is there any other day every year is just not a day off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We celebrate
there's multiple other ones which
we celebrate it every year.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
We celebrate every year. So on the fourth, we remember the dead, and not just for the Second World War, but for every war we have been involved in. And then on the 5th, we celebrate Liberation Day. Yeah.
Interesting.
And the rest of the week, it's busy. There's a nice series of Teams training, actually, which I can tweet out the link. It's organized by Microsoft. And it's about infrastructure setup. It's also about Teams callings, meetings, devices, etc. So it goes a bit further than just enabling Teams and making sure you have all the governance policies in place. And that starts this afternoon. But I think if you sign up, you can watch the recordings back as well. So I will make sure to share that link.
Cool.
That's pretty cool. And I think everybody will be working from home. So just
yes.
No. Really? Why would we? The weather is great.
So on my side, we're working on making sure that we finally get the final setup for the SharePoint framework in store. So we can potentially even talk about that in the upcoming conferences. See, I'm not going to expose the details on where and what, but maybe you can read between the lines. So let's see.
So there will be conferences, and we will be talking about SPFX in the store.
Yeah.
So a conference near you.
We've been having that one in a roadmap for quite a long time. So it is about time to actually get it out, which is really good. Just need to get some practicalities sorted out. Waldeck, what about you? What's on your table?
Today, this evening. So by the time you watch it, it's already happened. There is an SPFX mini summit organized by Rancor, company I work with. And it's going to be 4 presentations, including a keynote and then Ask Me Anything about SPFX. So SPFX for devs. We will be talking about lessons learned from building products on SPFX by Elio. AC will talk about telemetry, I believe, tracking the usage. I will talk about connecting to API secured with AAD, basically every single thing. Like, imagine you want to connect to your Tesla. You have an AAP secured by something, and you need to have a token, right? So basically that, like, how do you do that securely in SPFX? And there will be a keynote by Uvesa, and we will have an AMA at the end.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes, you are expected to show time. Up. yeah, so I guess that there is that. And other than that, doing cool work, upgrading things, or working for some things in SPFX, a combination of doing some other things for Rancor, and working on the CLI.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. I think that's it for this one. So thank you, Martin, for joining us. Good discussion related on the partner opportunities and where the business is heading and well, how business is changing and evolving. Because I think your company is not the only one who's been going through this journey or starting the journey in across the world. And Netherlands in general is Netherlands and Scandinavia are the ones which are heading the cloud adoption. Now with the COVID situation, the cloud adoption like spiked. So I think now company there's a much more additional opportunities for other areas as well, which is really interesting. But that's it for now. So thank you everybody for watching and thank or listening if you're on using the podcast option. And we'll be back with a new BMP Weekly within a week. Surprise, surprise. So cheers.
Thanks for having
later. Thanks, thank you everybody. Thanks, Martin. Right. Bye.